Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now then, there are lots of mysteries that really we don't understand in the Christian life. And one of those mysteries is, why me, Lord? Why did you call me? Why did you choose me? Out of all the multitudes of people that God has to choose from to bring into His kingdom, to make them one with Himself, to come and live in them by the Holy Spirit, why me? And we have to remember, when we ask the question, that God is wise, so He has never done anything that is unwise. So when He called and chose you, He was acting in wisdom. He didn't make a mistake and choose the wrong person. God is also righteous, and everything He does is right. So therefore, He was right in calling and choosing you. Even if you're a visitor, you've come with some church members, you are here this morning because God wants you to hear that He has called and chosen you. If that wasn't the case, you wouldn't be here this morning. You wouldn't hear this message. So, there's actually nothing for us to argue with God about. Paul, when he's writing to the Romans, addresses this issue as to why some are particularly chosen and called by God. And he says, well, when you ask the question, the answer really is, it's none of your business. Because God has the right to choose whoever He wills. And He has the right, therefore, to use any of His children in whatever way He chooses. Now, we're going to focus this morning for a few minutes on Mary. Mary, of course, in the whole Christmas story, played a key and central part. For her, it all began with the visitation of Gabriel, the archangel. And for her, that was at first a frightening experience. She was afraid. You know, when you meet with God, sometimes you meet with Him in His glory, and that's wonderful. It's impossible to really express what that is like. You can meet with Him in His holiness, and He completely humbles you before the greatness of who He is. But sometimes you meet with Him in such a way that a kind of godly fear of God comes upon you. And that must have been what happened to Mary. She was suddenly confronted with something that was totally supernatural, greater than her, beyond her. So the first thing that Gabriel had to do was to assure Mary that she needn't be afraid. Strange thing, isn't it, this fear of God, to know how awesome He is and yet not to be afraid of Him, to fear Him but not be afraid of Him. And Gabriel brings to Mary this revelation, first of all, that she's going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, Mary was probably about 16 years old at the time. And this in itself is a shock. She was betrothed to Joseph, but of course they had no sexual relationship in a time of betrothal in those days. And so that in itself was a big enough shock that somehow she was going to conceive a child, not by natural means, but by the Holy Spirit planting the seed of God within her. And then Gabriel explains that this child that will come from this union of the Holy Spirit with her body will be called the Son of God, will be the long-awaited, expected Messiah. Had God chosen wisely? Of course. Did He choose right? Of course. We would, if we could put ourselves in the position of a 16-year-old girl, be totally overwhelmed by hearing such things from this mighty spiritual being. So what was her response? Let it be to me according to your word. God had made the right choice. Let it be to me according to your word, according to what you have said. In the truth version, I am the Lord's servant. I submit willingly to what you have said. The right choice, the wise choice, because God got the right response. Must have been a strange life for Mary. We know that after the child was born, there were these various prophetic words that were spoken over him. And it says that she treasured these things in her heart. She probably didn't really know what to do with these great revelations. But she knew that somehow she had to care for this child that was going to become the Savior of the world. What an amazing destiny God had chosen for her. And then there came the time for Jesus' ministry to begin. And we don't have many of the words of Mary. We have what is called the Magnificat, that great hymn of praise that she sang at the time when she received this revelation of the birth of Jesus. But what she said there at the first occasion when Jesus performed one of his signs, his miracles, when he turned the water into wine at a wedding, she said to the servants, "Do whatever he says." Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the fact that God chose Mary not only because of her purity as a young maiden, but because of her humble, submissive heart. "Let it be to me according to your word." And because that was the essence of her life, she could say to others, she had the right to say to others, she had the authority, really, to say to others, "Do whatever he tells you." You see, God chose Mary because she knew instinctively the secret of how to walk with God, how to know God, how to build and strengthen your relationship with God. That the essence of that is just so simple for every believer. That in our lives we have the same response as Mary had. "Let it be to me according to your word." God has called each one of us here to belong to him, to be his child. He's done that because he has a particular purpose for each one of us personally and for all of us corporately. Now, we can all appreciate the wonderful privilege of being chosen. But what is the right response if we're chosen by God? "Let it be to me according to your word." We also have the great privilege of being called to belong to Kingdom Faith. And that is a privilege, perhaps, that many of you don't fully appreciate. Because God's call on Kingdom Faith is not to be just another church. This is not just another church. But God has a particular calling upon Kingdom Faith. I'm not going to talk about that now. That is what God will be really releasing amongst us during the 40 days at the beginning of next year. Because the time has come for Kingdom Faith to begin to enter into the destiny that God has for Kingdom Faith. And I can't think of a greater privilege than to be part of this church. I'm sad about those who have left and therefore deny themselves of that privilege. Because I think every one of us in these coming months is going to realize in a fresh way just how privileged we are. Because of the way in which God is going to meet with us, the way in which He is going to reveal Himself to us. This message is really a preparation for that. Because our response to all that God says and does amongst us must be the same as that of Mary. Let it be to me according to your word. That God will speak to us again and again, even in those 40 days, and on every occasion, we need to have that humble, submissive spirit that Mary had. Let it be to me according to your word. And if that's our heart response to whatever God says, then we will also know that we can fulfill that word of Mary. Do whatever He tells you. And then the supernatural and the miraculous will take place. Because doing what He tells you releases His activity into the situation. So I'm very excited because for the last 8 months, God has been speaking to me about what He is about to do. And I haven't spoken to you about this. I spoke really for the first time. We had a team day for all the staff on Wednesday, I think it was. And I spoke then about it, and all I can say is the Spirit of God moved in such a deep and profound way upon everybody as a result. And I think the heart response, I would imagine the heart response in everyone was, let it be to me according to your word. According to what He has called and chosen us for, upon what He is going to do amongst us. Just a few weeks ago, God spoke to me about judgment. The way He judges. It was in preparation for something I was doing with some of the students. But it was such a simple way, and people have told me since that this helps them to understand the whole business of judgment. Because we know that Jesus was very emphatic about the fact that we are not to judge, that all judgment belongs to Him, that we are not to judge one another, we're not to condemn anyone, we are always to forgive, even 70 times 7, that we are to be merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful. And when God spoke to me about this, He posed the question. You notice that in the Gospel, Jesus often asked questions and then answered them. And He said to me, on what basis do you think I judge? And then He said, the reason why I tell people that they are not to judge because nobody judges on the same basis that I do. Now, I'm not talking about salvation, or God wasn't talking about salvation, but about our attitude towards one another, towards others. And he gave me this very simple illustration. You know, a sports team, let's take, for example, a soccer team, plays in a league. And in England here, if you're in the Premier League, you play 38 matches in the season. If you're in one of the lower leagues, you play 46 matches. The aim, of course, is to win your particular league or to be as high in the league table as possible. But alongside the lead, there are also certain cups. One of the cups that our professional teams play in is the FA Cup. Now, if you play in the league, you may lose some matches. But you can still win the league. Losing a match doesn't throw you out of the league. You might even go through a bad patch, and most teams, most seasons, go through a bad patch in which they lose a number of matches in a short period of time. They might lose 3 or 4 matches within 2 or 3 weeks. And a team can go through a patch like that and still win the league or still get a high position in the league. But in the cup competition, one loss and you're out. That's it. Finished. You're no longer in the cup. And the Lord said to me, the way most people judge others is if they're in a cup competition. They see something wrong in another believer, and as far as they're concerned, he or she is out. And then the Lord said to me, if I was to judge my children in that way, I wouldn't have anyone left to serve me. And he said, no, you are all in a league. And actually, you have to play a lot more than 38 or 46 matches. But sometimes you will lose a match. Sometimes God will speak. And although your heart attitude may be, let it be to me according to your will, sometimes your will rise against what he says, and you will fail. But when you fail, God will not exclude you. He won't throw you out of the league, because this is not a cup competition. God will give you time to get over the disappointment, the failure, however you may regard it. And the quicker you get over it, the better. Because then you come back to what he has said. Because you see, the only time that you have ever failed is when you have lost sight of what he has said, and you did not do what he said. You can never do what Jesus says and fail. It's impossible, because his word always works. So you see, this is not simply a response that needs to be made at the beginning of our Christian walk. Let it be to me according to your word, because that's only another way of saying, let it be to me according to your will, because God expresses his will in his word. That's why his word is so important. That's why it's important for us to be feeding upon his word every day of our lives. But this is to be the continual, humble, submissive attitude. Let it be to me according to your word. And when you see someone else fail, you of course won't judge them, because they're not in a cup competition. And just as when you failed, God didn't exclude you, so when they fail, he hasn't excluded them. And he's saying, well, I am merciful, and I wait for them to come back to my will. So you be merciful and pray for them to come back to my will. Are there any believers here this morning? Okay. So to me, it was a very simple illustration of not only the judgment, but the mercy of God. Because it isn't merciful, is it, to throw people out as if they're in a cup match? Hello? Yet sadly, over the years, I have often encountered that kind of attitude in Christians, that they just judge someone for something they have done. But you see, Jesus says that on the day of judgment, of course, we have salvation as his gift. We can't earn or ever deserve that gift. But Jesus does say that each one of us will be judged according to what we have done. So what will happen on the day of judgment for you? What will happen to you on the day of judgment? If we can use this language, God will look at your league record. Hallelujah. He will know what that league record is. Fortunately, all the failures will have been forgiven. Hallelujah. But all your victories will be recorded. All the fruit you have produced through the power of the Holy Spirit will be written in the book that has your name on it. You know, it says in the book of Revelation that on the day of judgment, the books will be open. Well, there's a book with your name on it that has your record in it. And praise God, all the sin has been erased from that book. And God will look at what you have done, at your league record. Now, does that mean that if you have a particular ministry, you're likely to get a better press from God on the day of judgment than others? No, it's got nothing to do with the basis of what ministry, whether you're an apostle, whether you're a prophet, whether you're a servant, whether you're an administrator, got nothing to do with that. It will all be on the basis of let it be to me according to your word. It will be a matter of how you responded to what Jesus has said. Not just what you have heard personally, but what he has said, what is recorded in the Word of God. How you have responded to taking hold of those words. Jesus said that the most fruitful people are those who keep hold of the word of God with an honest and good heart, a Mary kind of heart, a humble, submissive heart that says, let it be to me according to your word. So I praise God that we have great, great things ahead of us. If you'd heard what I've heard for the last 18 months, you would have all shouted hallelujah or amen at that. We have so many great things ahead of us. All will be required of us, of every one of us individually and of us corporately as the church here in Crawley and Worthing and beyond, because this is going to influence the whole of Kingdom Faith and beyond Kingdom Faith. Whatever God does, however quickly He can reveal, unfold, and fulfill the purpose that He has for us, will depend upon those humble, submissive hearts that say to Him, let it be to me according to your word. Can we all say it now? Let it be to me according to your word. The Lord said an unusual thing to me during the week, because He's been impressing upon me in the last few days that this is the message to bring this morning. He said, I want you to keep repeating those words all the way through your message. Let it be to me according to your word. I want you to keep repeating it so that none of my children can forget it, but it gets deeply ingrained in their hearts because they've heard it so often. Let it be to me according to your word. What is the word that He's going to bring us? Well, it doesn't matter. If your attitude is, let it be to me according to your word, that gives God the opportunity to say whatever He wants and to know that His word will be met with that humble, submissive, loving obedience. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my word. You will keep my commands. So, I believe that God wants us to come into those 40 days with this attitude. Let it be to me according to your word. That we've got this period of time over the holiday period, yes, to relax and rejoice and have good time with family and all the rest of it, but for God to deeply embed in our hearts, let it be to me according to your word, so that right from the first of those 40 days, whatever God says is going to be met with that humble, submissive, willing heart. That God doesn't have to spend the first part of those 40 days getting us to the point where we will actually do what He says. Anybody understand what I'm saying? But we come into those 40 days with the right heart attitude. And let's be clear about this. This is a call from God for the whole church, for all of us. It's not for some. It's not for, you know, the spiritually mature or the keen ones or anything like that. This is the will of God, the word of God for the whole church. There's something He has to do in us corporately as a body. Of course, it will affect each one of us individually and personally, because the body is made up of people. But you will discover during those 40 days the amazing fruitfulness that is going to come out of our obedience to the Lord. And you see, this isn't a matter of God necessarily saying difficult things that we have to face and encounter and very costly things. Because often when God speaks, it's to encourage, to bless, to build up. You see, the angel coming to Mary was to bless her. The first thing he said to her is, "You are highly favored." And I'm standing here saying to you this morning that as a member of Kingdom Faith, you are highly favored because of what God is going to do amongst us. You're highly favored, of course, to be a child of God, but you're highly favored to belong to Kingdom Faith, and you're highly favored to belong to Him now, at this time. Because you see, God is always right in His sense of timing. Amen. So we can look forward with expectation. You see, if we come into these 40 days with the right faith attitude, God will honor that faith. Amen. But of course, that faith attitude is also that humble, submissive heart attitude. Let it be to me according to your word. Now, beloved, we're going to break bread together. And this is a good time for us to do this, not just because it's Christmas time. But as you receive these gifts, this is, of course, the covenant meal. Covenant speaks of obedient relationship with God. That's what covenant is all about. It's not just an agreement. It's living, submitted to the Word of God. That's what covenant is. God gives promises to those who live in that obedience. So this is the covenant meal. And as we receive these gifts, wouldn't it be good for you to pray, "Let it be to me according to your word." And it's not for me, just one of your humble children, to tell you what to do, what to say. It's for me to humbly submit myself to whatever you say. And thank you, Lord, that you give the grace to enable me to do whatever is your will. Now, there's just one more thing we're going to do before we break the bread. Because you've been given one of these cards as you came in, or you should have done. If you haven't, raise your hand and somebody will bring you one. This is a Christmas present from Kingdom Faith to you. Who knows that the most valuable Christmas presents aren't those that cost the most money, but those that have the greatest benefit on your life. Amen? So this card is probably more valuable to you than all your other Christmas presents put together. But of course, it's something that has to be used. It says my daily faith confession. Those of you who have been around a long time know that this is a new edition of something that we used some years ago. But these are words of truth. So we're going to stand in a moment and we're going to make this confession of faith together before we break bread. But you see, behind all of this, there is this, let it be to me according to your word. Because all the statements here are true to the word of God. That's why it's our faith confession. And we're going to use it in the form that it's here, but I'll let you into a little secret. I'm using this every day, but I don't always use it in this form. Sometimes I turn it round into a prayer of thanksgiving. So if you just look at it now, I'll show you how I do that. I say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are my Lord, that I am in you by your grace, and that today I live and move and have my being in you. I thank you, Lord, that you are my life, that your life has become my life, and today I have all that is in you, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You see, you can turn it around. So sometimes it's good to do it in this form and just speak it with faith and authority and conviction over your life. Sometimes it's good to give thanks to God for all these truths. So let's all stand, shall we, and take hold of these cards. I think it would be good for us all to speak it as a body, not only over our personal lives, but over this body. Because we want to see God's call upon Kingdom Faith fulfilled, right? And all those of us who are part of Kingdom Faith will say amen to that. So let's say together, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I am in him by God's grace. Today I live and move and have my being in him. The Lord is my life. His life has become my life. Today I have all that is in him, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. The Lord is my righteousness. He has cleansed me from my sins by his blood and made me totally acceptable in his sight. Today I will live free from sin. The Lord has given me his spirit. I have an anointing from the Holy One. Today he fills me with power and leads me into all the truth. The Lord is my peace. Today I do not need to worry about anything. The Lord is with me always. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Today his presence goes with me and gives me rest. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Today I will rejoice in him and give thanks in all circumstances. His praise will continually be on my lips. The Lord is my healer. By his stripes I am healed, for he bore my infirmities and carried my sicknesses. He is my health and salvation. So today I speak his health and healing over my life. I resist all sickness in his name. The Lord is my provider. He is my shepherd, so that I shall not want. Today he makes all grace abound to me, so that in all things, at all times, having all that I need, I will abound in every good work. The Lord is my banner, my victory. He always leads me in triumphant procession in Christ. Today I shall live as an overcomer. The Lord has given me authority over all the power of the enemy. Today I submit myself to God. I resist the devil and he flees from me. I overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. The Lord loves me. Today I abide in his love. I can love others with the same love with which he loves me. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that all these truths are just that. They are truths about us because you have called and chosen us to be your children, that you have placed us in Christ and you have put Christ into us by the power of your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord. And Lord, our word to you today is, let it be to me according to your word. Shall we all say that? Let it be to me according to your word. And I thank you, Lord, that we can share together in this covenant meal, that you have promised so many good things to us. And all we have to do is to live in that loving obedience to you. So I thank you, Lord, that on the night that you were betrayed, you took bread. And when you had given thanks to the Father, you broke it and gave it to your disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given you thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let it be to me, Lord, according to your will. Let's have the stewards forward to distribute the gifts. And as we do so today, let's just stay in this place of heart submission. Thank you, Lord, for Mary. Thank you that you chose well. You chose right. You chose with wisdom. And you knew that she would fulfill the destiny you had for her. And Lord, we dare to believe that you have chosen each one of us with that same wisdom. You've made that right choice. And even if some of us think that there's been a lot of failure, a lot of matches that we've lost over the years, thank you that we're still in the league. And thank you, Lord, we're aiming to win the league. Thank you, Lord, that you have overcome all those past failures through your blood. And thank you, Lord, that you're equipping us, training us to win. Hallelujah. And thank you for all the overcoming that we're going to see in these coming weeks and months. We bless your holy name. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. What a mighty God. Let it be to me according to your word, that I will live in the good of your word, in all the promises of your word, in the truth of your word that sets me free, that I will live in loving obedience to your word, so that your plan and your purpose for my life can be fulfilled. Let it be to me according to your word. Lord, we realize how great the things that you were going to do for Mary, in Mary, through Mary. And thank you that as you speak to us today, it's because there are so many great things you want to do for us and in us and through us. And all you need is those loving, humble, submissive hearts. That is not something we say from the top of our heads, but something that comes from the depth of our hearts. Let it be to me according to your word. Thank you, Lord, that in this coming season, you're going to bring your prophetic word to us. You're going to speak very clearly to each one of us at a personal level. You're going to speak to us corporately as your body in this place. And thank you, Lord, that you're inspiring within us that right heart response. That no matter what you say, our answer will be, let it be to me according to your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your enabling that we will not fulfill any of these words in our own strength or by depending upon ourselves, but we will respond by depending upon your Holy Spirit to outwork in us that which is your good pleasure, that which will please you, that which will glorify you, that which will enable us to bear much lasting fruit. So let it be to me according to your word. So, Lord, I want to have done with anything that contradicts your word, that is not of your word, that undermines faith in your word. So I want to keep speaking your words of truth over my life. I want to keep confessing this truth, that I am who you say I am, because I belong to you. That I can be the one that you want me to be, and I can do what it is you want me to do. And I thank you, Lord, that as we as a body make this faith confession every day, so you are going to move in our hearts and in our lives in very practical ways. We're going to see more and more of your word come to life in our lives. And we give you all the glory for that, Lord. I praise you that those words that we confess and speak will become more and more real in the experience of every one of us, as we continue to make this confession of faith on a daily basis. So I praise you, I bless you. And my heart response to you this morning is, let it be to me according. according to your word. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.